Well, hey, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing good? Yeah, hey. I want to give everybody a big welcome. It is Easter Sunday. We've got a full house. If we haven't met yet, my name is Logan. I get the privilege of being a pastor here at Refuge. And I just got to say thank you to everyone who is here. We're honored that you decided to spend Easter here at Refuge Church. And believe it or not, we have been praying for you. I want you to know that your presence here today is actually, it is an answer to prayer. If this is your first time, we would love the opportunity to connect with you, to get to know more of your story. You can fill out those connection cards in your seat, drop it off in the box on the way out, or you can text CONNECT to 405-777-4637. Here's what I know for everybody that is here. Already this morning, you've had to overcome some obstacles to be here. It's Easter morning. You got special outfits for the whole family. Your kids did not want to take a cute picture. They did not want to get up. Maybe you had to drag them to the car. I'd be willing to bet in the room right here, at least one family had one parent yelling at kids in the back seat on the way here. Can I get an amen, right? Anybody know? Hey, don't call yourself out like that. Here's my deal. Sometimes it can be a challenge to make it happen. So hear me on this. Regardless of how you rolled in today, you did it. You made it. All right, we're so excited you're here. It might have been a stressful morning getting everybody ready and here, but you made it happen. You're here. So, hey, let's take a moment right now to relax, to let go of any stress or anxiety this morning has already produced, and turn our full attention to the Word of God. So you guys put your arms out like this with your palms up. Close your eyes. It's just a posture of surrender. Take a deep breath. And remember that God is just as near as the air you're breathing. Let's pray. God, today would you guide us closer to you? Help our minds put away the frustrations of this past week, to put away the distractions of the coming week. We want to fully focus on you. We come empty with nothing to offer but surrender. Fill us up as only you can. Holy Spirit, move in here today with power. We believe that in advance. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, today we're going to look at Jesus, his death, and maybe more importantly, the resurrection. And I know that's going to come as a big surprise to absolutely no one, right? That's what Easter is about. That's what Easter is celebrating. Jesus' resurrection. If you're a Jesus follower, or even if you're not a Jesus follower, I just want you to know we're not just talking about Jesus and what he did. We're going to be talking about those, but we are examining our hope. Because everything, and I mean everything, hinges on this. Jesus' death and resurrection is what our faith is built on. The cross and the empty tomb are foundational for our faith. If Jesus wasn't raised back from the dead, we have nothing. So we're not just talking about the specifics of what Jesus has done. We are talking about our hope. Because without the empty tomb, it is a hopeless faith. So we're going to go quickly through the story of Jesus and talk about the implications for us. It started on Good Friday. If you didn't know, Good Friday, that is the day that Jesus was crucified. He was nailed to a cross between two criminals. They put a nail through each hand. They crossed his feet and put one nail through both of his feet. And as he hung on the cross, the sin of the world was placed upon him. Our sin was placed on Jesus. And there at the cross, he paid the price for our sin. Here's how Luke describes Jesus' last breath. It says, then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. It says, and with those words, he breathed his last. Jesus died on the cross. He was beaten. He was alone. All of his disciples have deserted him. He was naked. He was humiliated. He was mocked. He was spat on. And in that moment, when he passes away, the last thing he says right here says, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. Jesus is actually quoting scripture. Psalm 35:15. He says, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And the verse there that he's quoting, it goes on and it says this, rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. So in Jesus' death, he is crying out to God the Father, and he's saying, I trust you. Rescue me, for you are faithful. The reason that Good Friday is good is because Sunday is coming. So Jesus dies on the cross on Friday, and God answers that prayer. Jesus' prayer, he answers that on Sunday morning. We're going to hop over to John chapter 20. It says this in verse 1, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had already been rolled away. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and she looked in. It says she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where Jesus had been laying. And the angel said, dear woman, why are you crying? And she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. She turned to leave, and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. He says, dear woman, why are you crying? That's what Jesus asked her. Why are you crying? And then he asked her, he says, who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. That's what it says in Scripture. Have you ever been assumed to be the wrong person, got insulted? This is Jesus, the king of the universe, right? And she thought he was the gardener. Okay. She thinks he's the gardener, so she responds to, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? With, sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. She thinks somebody has taken the body of Jesus. And Jesus responds, he says, Mary. She turned to him and cried out, Rabbi, which means teacher. He says her name, and then she realizes that, no, that's not the gardener. That's my Jesus. That's who I'm looking for. See, Sunday morning comes and the tomb could not hold Jesus. God raises him back to life. And Mary is sitting there and she is upset because she doesn't understand. She thinks that somebody has taken Jesus's body. And Jesus is right there. She just doesn't know it yet. And Jesus asks Mary two questions. Why are you crying? Second question, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? I want to ask that question to you. When times are tough, when things aren't going your way, when you are upset, when you are crying, who are you looking for? Because we are in times of turmoil, all of us are looking for help. We're looking for someone. It could be a spouse. It could be friends. It could be family. Maybe we just try to look within. We try to find help within ourselves. And the problem is, when we look anywhere other than Jesus, it's going to come up short. They can't give us, none of those people can give us what Jesus can. And when we look to Jesus, we find hope. And the hope we find in him is not found anywhere else. He offers a hope that is available for our past, a hope that is for our future, and a hope that is for right now, for right now. When we look to Jesus, we find hope from our past. I don't know if you guys have ever done anything that you're not proud of. All right, raise your hand. Yeah, everybody, right? We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes. I've made some pretty big ones, if I'm honest. I'm a pastor, but I am not by any means a perfect person. And when we look to Jesus, he gives us a hope from all of those mistakes, all those things we've done in our past. When we make up, when we mess up, when we make mistakes, many of us, what we try to do, our default is to try to cover them up. It's like a kid, whenever you tell them not to eat the cookie, and they put the cookie in front of them, and then you leave, and the cookie's gone, and the kid's got crumbs all over their face, and they're just sitting there like, I didn't eat the cookie, I don't know what you're talking about, right? We do the same thing. We try to cover up, we try to hide our mistakes, try to conceal them. I found out recently that when an artist finishes painting a painting, often what they'll do is they'll have a varnish cover the painting. They will go over their painting with this varnish. And the purpose of the varnish is to protect the painting. And initially it goes on clear, but sometimes as that piece of art ages, they might even have to reapply the varnish. Go ahead, and I got a video I want to show you guys of this. If you've ever seen a video or you've ever seen a picture of an old painting, it kind of looks yellow like it does here on the sides where it's still got the varnish on it. And it looks kind of unremarkable or dull. It doesn't look really anything all that crazy. It's because that has that thick yellowing varnish over it. It's yellowed over time. And this started out as a good way, it's a good thing to protect the painting from wear and tear. But what it ends up doing is taking away the life of the painting. This video is showing them removing all of that varnish. Look at that Q-tip, it's a delicate process. You don't want to harm the painting. And as they remove it, you can start to see the life of that painting being restored. It's wild to me if you compare this eye to that eye looks just kind of like dead and nasty. And this eye looks like an actual eye. It looks like it's alive. It's got some life in it. What a picture of how we treat our past mistakes. What a picture. What do we do when we make mistakes? We cover them up. We try to protect ourselves. And over time, what happens is we've covered up so much of our lives. We've covered up all of these mistakes that our lives look nothing like they once did. In an attempt to conceal all the failures that we've had, we end up with a life that looks nothing like it once did. We end up with this toned down version of ourselves because we don't want anybody else to know all the mistakes we've made. We're no longer the vibrant people we once were because we're weighed down by our sin, all of our mistakes, all of our mess ups. But Jesus offers hope from our past. In Jesus, our past no longer defines us. Look at this verse on the screen. Say that word in the yellow when we get there, all right? He has, as Jesus, I'm going to say it again, do it one more time. Jesus has our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. When we make mistakes, as Jesus has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, it doesn't say that Jesus sweeps them under the rug. Hey, just forget about it. It doesn't say that he conceals them. Jesus completely removes them from the equation. They are gone. When you look to Jesus, when you put your faith in Jesus, you are no longer defined by your past. Jesus offers hope from our past. He's completely removed our sin. It is gone. Jesus also offers a hope for the future, because hope from your past isn't any good if you don't have anywhere to go, if you don't have anything to look forward to. Jesus offers hope for our future as well. Have you ever been excited to go on a trip somewhere? Like you've just been excited you're going to go, you're going to try this new place. One time I did that, I was just super excited for a trip. It was an anniversary trip with my wife. We were going to go to the beach, going to go spend some time with my bride, no kids, kids were with their grandparents. It was going to be awesome. All right, and I go to check the weather for our trip, and it is a high chance of rain the whole week of our trip. Cloudy and downcast, that's the forecast for the whole trip. And it's crazy how excitement for something can change almost instantly, right? Like, man, I was excited, and it was like, oh, we spent all this money to just get rained on in a new place. Like, this is not what I wanted to do. You guys feel me on that? It's like an instant mood change. We have stuff like that where we're excited about something, one thing changes, and then guess what? We are bummed out. Now here's the problem that I have. In my excitement to check the weather, I didn't realize I had accidentally swiped over on the weather app. So instead of checking the weather for the beach, I was looking for the weather here in OKC. So think about this. There was nothing wrong or inaccurate about the information I had. It was right, but it wasn't right for where I was going to be. That information was based off where I currently was, not where I was going. Did you catch that? The information was based where I currently was, not where I was going to be. How many of us get upset because we are so focused on where we are currently at that we miss where we're going, that we miss what God will do for us? Here's what our lives might look like right now. Our children are being rebellious. We're just struggling with this whole parenthood thing. Maybe we feel stuck in a job or a role at work. Maybe our marriage isn't doing great. It's on the rocks. Maybe life just feels like you cannot get a win. Please hear me. Those are all real, and there is most definitely some pain associated with those. Some frustration, maybe even desperation in those situations. But don't be so focused where you are at right now that you miss the hope of the resurrection. Don't miss where you're going, that one day Jesus will come back. He will return. And when he does, it is going to be amazing. Here's how John describes it in Revelation. Say that part in the yellow out loud with me. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things will be gone forever. No more death, sorrow, crying, or pain. That's the hope we have for the future. That one day, all the things that cause us pain, they will be gone forever. Forever. When problems come your way, and they will, I'm not saying they won't, remember the hope you have for the future. Don't be so focused where you're currently at that you forget where you're going. That one day Jesus will remove all the problems in our life. And it's a permanent fix. What Jesus does cannot be undone. That's the future hope we cling to in Jesus. We've talked about the hope we have for the past and the hope we have for our future. But I know that some of us in here right now, you're going through it right now. Like you feel right now like you just can't get a win. Like you're feeling a little bit run down. You feel like you could use some help. You're sitting there saying, okay, my past, I got hope for my past, I got hope for my future, but I'm living in this right now. And I want to say this as clear as possible. In Jesus, you have hope right now. Jesus gives us hope in our present circumstances. I want to say this. Just because we have hope in our current situation does not mean that it is any less painful in that moment. Now, we can acknowledge the fact that life is going to be hard sometimes. That sometimes it's going to hurt. It's okay to admit that. But the hope we have in Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, the hope we have in him is that he will work it out, that there is purpose in our pain. That there is purpose in our pain. That's the hope we have in Jesus. I heard somebody describe it like this. If you were walking through the hallway of the ICU at the hospital and you hear a family weeping, your heart would break for them. That they've lost a loved one. It would hurt. There would be some pain there. If you're walking through that same hospital through the labor and delivery section, and you hear a mother, she's maybe screaming or weeping during childbirth, that hits a little different than the ICU, right? Because although that mom is going through some pain, there is a purpose in her pain. When that pain is over, she'll be holding her baby. It's why women have more than one child, right? They aren't focused on the pain of childbirth. They're focused on the new life of that precious baby. Those two groups, the family in the ICU and the mother in labor, they are both experiencing pain. One is the pain of death and its sting, and the other is the pain of birth. But with birth comes new life. That even in the pain, a good thing came from it. That good came from this pain. The hope we have in Jesus, the hope we find in Jesus is just like that. That even in your deepest moments of pain, God redeems it. God gives purpose to it. It says this in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything. He causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I want to just pause there. It doesn't say that God says everything is good. In fact, there are things in this life that are bad. He isn't saying that it isn't painful. All he is saying is there is purpose in your pain, that he will bring good things out of the pain. In Genesis 50, verse 20, it says this, says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. You very well could have people who are intending to harm you, but God will use it for good. A little backstory about this verse, a quick recap. This is said by Joseph in the Old Testament. We'll go ahead and throw that verse back up there, Genesis 50, 20. And Joseph, he said this, and Joseph was his parents' favorite child. He was the chosen one of the family, so to speak. And Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. Well, quick turn, right? He was the favorite one. His brothers were jealous. They sold him into slavery. He ends up in a distant land as a slave. His master, he actually works his way up to be second in command at his master's house. And then once he gets the second in command at that house, he is falsely accused and he ends up in prison. He's a foreigner. He's a foreign slave who is in prison in a distant place. And from that place, no family, no power, no position, nothing. God anoints him from that place, and Joseph goes from prison to second in command in all of Egypt. So Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. He ends up in a distant land as a slave. He works his way up to be second in command at the house, falsely accused, back to prison, goes to prison, goes from prison to second in command of all of Egypt. While he's in command of Egypt, a famine breaks out throughout the land. And Joseph has done a good job of preparing the people from all over who are coming to him in Egypt. They're coming to him so they can get food. He did such a good job of storing up that people from all over are coming. They said, we need food. We need to get it from you. When Joseph says, you intended it for evil. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He is talking to the brothers that sold him into slavery. The only way their paths cross is because they are starving and they need food to feed their family. They go to their brother. They don't even know he's their brother. And he looks at the brothers, his family, the family that sold him into slavery. And he says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Did Joseph go through some pain? Absolutely. But when you look at the end of the story, you can see that clearly there was purpose in the pain, that God did bring some good out of something evil. When you plant yourself at the cross of Jesus, you will find that every hard thing you are ever going through, God will work for good. He will work it for good. There was a farmer, and he's out in the field with his son. And while they're out in the field, a wildfire breaks out. And they're in the tractor. They're trying to run away from the fire. And the dad, he stops the tractor. And he tells his son to get out because we're not going to be able to outrun this wildfire. It's moving on. It's gaining on us too fast. And then he gets out. The farmer does. And he gets a little torch and he starts a little fire. Kind of does it in just a big circle. And he kind of gets it out. Gets the fire out. And after he burns a circle, he puts the fire out. He tells his son, hey, go get in the circle that I had just burned. And then the child starts to worry. He's like, Dad, that fire's coming. It's gonna get us. And the dad says, if you stay right there, if you stay in the middle of this circle, that fire can't hurt you. See, fire has already been here. And the dad knew that fire can't burn where it's already been consumed by fire. That fire has already come. That even if that wildfire came and it was all the way around them, if they stayed in that circle, that fire couldn't harm them. That fire can't go where fire has already been. Church, the fire has already come for us. That fire has already burned. Our sin, the price of our sin has been paid in full. The way for us to stay safe is to be planted at the foot of the cross. Because fire can't burn where it's already been. And on the cross, Jesus took the punishment for the sins of the world. The punishment for our sin is paid in full. Stay planted at the cross. The fire's already burned. It's already come and it's already gone. It's where we find safety and security. This life may have pain. We put our faith in Jesus, God will work it out for our good. I want you to think about this. If God can take the death of his perfect son, Jesus, and he can turn that into salvation, if he can take the cross and he can give us a resurrected Savior, friends, I promise you, he can give hope to your present situation. He will give purpose to any pain you have experienced, will experience, or are going to experience. He is a good God, and he loves you. That's why he sent Jesus. It was love that held him to the cross. It wasn't nails. At any moment, he could have come down, but it was his love for you that kept him right there. If we go back to that passage we started at, John 20, Mary is sitting there, and she's upset. She's crying. She's literally looking for Jesus. And where is he? He's right there. He is with her. He's in the room. All she has to do is lift her head. She's got her head down. She's crying. She's upset. If she would lift her head, she would see Jesus. She was looking for somebody who was already there. If you've been searching for hope, maybe it feels like you've tried everything possible. Hope is right in front of you. It's Jesus. He's right here with you. He is in the room right here. His presence is in here, and he wants to save you. All you need to do, just like Mary, lift your head. Look to Jesus. He will save you. He will give you salvation. Jesus took our sins, and they are never coming back. That's the power of the resurrection. Do you believe that this morning? You might have walked in feeling completely hopeless, that your life is a wreck, that it is in shambles. Maybe you're here, you're saying, my life is over. The life I thought I was going to have, that life is dead. Jesus is in the resurrection business. I believe that he is bringing to life faith in hearts today, that the Holy Spirit is moving, that God is drawing you closer to himself. God has shown you that you have all the hope you need when you have Jesus, that he brings dead things back to life, that he brings hope, hope from our past, hope for our future, and he gives us hope for right now. Would you pray with me?